The scripture reading is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Good morning. Had to get all my stuff turned on and set up. All right, well, it's good to see everybody this morning. Good to be back. I just got back from vacation. It's my first Sunday back, and missed everybody. Good to see all of you. It's especially good to come back on such a beautiful Easter morning with all these visitors here, and people that I know are dear family to the people that I love here. So it's good to see all of our visitors. I know many of you are honored guests with your family this morning. We're so happy that you're here with us. This morning, we are going to do something a little different than what we've been looking at. Our current Sunday morning series we recently started is looking at the book of John. But this morning, I figured since we would have probably many different visitors, and I kind of like the idea of spending special time remembering the actual anniversary of Jesus' resurrection, today we're going to spend some time thinking about that resurrection, about Jesus' greatest work, and what that means for us today. Now, when talking about the end of Jesus' life, there are plenty of powerful places we could discuss in the Bible. We could talk about the whole week leading up to his death, the powerful teaching that he did, the struggles that he had, the sadness that we see from him as he approaches the cross. We could talk about his actual crucifixion and death, his selfless suffering and willingness to carry our sin. I mean, these are the encouraging, beautiful things about Christ. But I thought that since today is not the anniversary of his death, the time before that, but the anniversary of his resurrection, that we might spend some time thinking about that most important part of his journey. The part that's not quite so sad and difficult, but encouraging and life-giving and beautiful. So to do that, we're going to begin by looking this morning at the book of Luke and chapter 24. There we go. The book of Luke and chapter 24, we're going to look at verses 44 through about verse 49 in Luke 24. This is Jesus speaking right after not long after his resurrection. It says, "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.'" When I was thinking about Jesus' resurrection this week, I thought about which text we might use to talk about that. You know, I looked up different New Testament passages, and for a lot of things in the Bible that we love and that we talk about, there aren't really a lot of passages that discuss it. For the Lord's Supper, for instance, it's mentioned several places, but there's about five specific passages that we could look at if we wanted to really study that. But when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus, it's no surprise there are many, many passages that talk about this in the New Testament. It's kind of the core of our faith. And so I decided this morning to think about Jesus' resurrection. We would look at Jesus' own words. How did Jesus talk after he was raised? What did he say about it? When Jesus experienced this resurrection, what did he do? What's the primary teaching he gave after it happened? And Luke 24 gives us one example, but it's very similar to the others we see in the Gospels and in Acts. Jesus' primary teaching about his own resurrection was that it was good news that the world needed to know. In Acts, his final words before he goes to heaven or he sends into heaven is that the disciples are going to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. Final things he tells them is go out and tell everyone about this. In Matthew, we see the Great Commission where Jesus commands his followers to baptize and teach all that he taught them to all the people throughout the world. And I love what he tells them here in Luke 24, 46 and 47. That repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed to all nations in his name. He is the reason that repentance and belief can lead people to forgiveness. You know, he is the way. That's what his resurrection meant to him. That's what he wanted people to know about it. That now in his name, the forgiveness of sins and repentance are accessible. You can make a change in your life. You know, sin can be hard to visualize. We know that sin is a terrible thing that impacts people's lives and causes pain and suffering and death. But it's kind of hard sometimes to put a face to it. So I want you to think about something that you can visualize. Think about coronavirus for a minute. I know it's not something we ever want to think about. But it's this awful disease that we've seen just ravage the lives of many people that we love, ravage our lives, just change all of our plans over the last year. And maybe it's a little more visible than we usually see something like sin. Imagine if Jesus showed up to your house and had just enough COVID vaccine to fix the whole world and just gave it to you. Just came over there and it was this perfect solution. No more COVID-19. There are no chances of failure, no side effects. It works for every person and it lasts for the rest of their life. Now the coronavirus isn't a problem that you've got to worry about. It's gone. You know, it'd be awesome. It sticks you one time in the shoulder, you're fine. You're done with the coronavirus. But you know, it wouldn't just be about you if Jesus came to your house and gave you the cure for that to fix everybody in the world. It would fix your problem, but how you need to take it to others? It's not just for you, it's for everyone. The first awesome thing, or the thing about this, is that while it's good that you have it, that's just a small part of what makes it powerful. You're safe. But now you've got a whole world around you that needs this. It's Jesus' gift, but he gave it to you because he wants you to help others experience. It's not a gift that is about you. And that's what the resurrection is like. That's what the gospel is like. It is this good news of salvation for everyone that hears it and follows it. Everyone that loves Jesus. You know, sin is this terrible thing. It's bigger and worse than the coronavirus. It's all over the world. And Jesus has given us the cure, the thing that can stop it and fight against it. And it's wonderful that it helps me. But Jesus' goal is not just to help me. Jesus says, all right, take this, you know, get the help you need, and now take it to everyone else you can. He challenges his followers to spread the good news to others. Jesus' life was about trying to reach everyone. And after being raised from the dead, that's what he talks to his disciples about. I want your life to be about that too. He's talking to them, but he's also talking to me and talking to you. Christ was raised from the dead, and it's because of this that repentance, or a change in direction, because that's what repentance means, a change in your life is something that we should practice in our lives so that we can share his death and resurrection, receiving forgiveness for our own sins. This is one of the clearest explanations of the gospel in Jesus' own words. The New Testament's full of different moments where people explain why Jesus' resurrection matters so much, but I just like looking at this one because we hear it from his own mouth, what it means, how powerful it is. It means so much for us, but like the disciples, it means for us that there is work to do. We've got to act on Jesus' resurrection. That's how Jesus wanted to be remembered. Not just that he saved me, but that now I have the opportunity to help others find him, and he can save them too. He wanted us to act in response to his resurrection, both by repenting and by spreading the message of who he is. And this is the first thing he seems to be concerned about the disciples doing. He doesn't tell them to go worship or to go study. Those things are obviously important. I don't want to discount those things. But I think it's just really powerful that the last thing Jesus says, that the words he wants them to remember as he's leaving, is take this to the rest of the world. Spread the good news, because it's the best news in the world. And everyone needs it. It's the cure for sin. In Acts, he tells them before he ascends that they're going to be his messengers to the ends of the earth. And the same commission comes to us today. That's a huge part of what the resurrection means. It means that there's a whole world that needs to know him now. And that once again, today and every day, we need to light that torch of the gospel in our souls and to shine that light and to demonstrate his love and the things that we do. That is how you remember Jesus and his resurrection. You live different. You live changed. We serve a living Savior with a living faith, and his life is meant to impact ours. I thought about one other passage that I wanted to read this morning when it comes to Jesus and his resurrection, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read, actually starting in verse 12, though the passage I want you to pay the most attention to is the one up on the screen. But in 1 Corinthians 15, we'll read starting in verse 12. It says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there was no resurrection from the dead? But if there's no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain, and we are found even to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people to be the most pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." Now this passage, it comes from the end of 1 Corinthians. Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, and one of the many concerns and questions that they have is about resurrection. They thought Jesus might be returning any minute, which is wise, because he's going to come like a thief in the night. But they worried that when he returned, that those who had died already might not be in his kingdom. It's a really understandable fear. You know, this is a new faith. They're trying to understand who Jesus is, and they're just kind of figuring things out. And they're worried about the loved ones they have that have already passed. And Paul gives them this response, which I've always loved. He essentially tells them that in Christ, death is not the end. He tells them that it was obviously not the end for Jesus. That's why we're here this morning. You know, that's what today's about. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, then our preaching and our teaching is a lie misrepresenting God. But verse 17 here really kind of hits it home for me. How much does it matter that Jesus rose from the dead on that third day? If Christ is not raised, my faith, your faith, it's futile. It's useless. It means nothing. It's not worth anything of value. We're still in our sins. And those that have died, our loved ones, they have perished never to be seen again. If in Christ we had hope only in this single life on earth, then we're the most pitiable people on earth. Man, how much does today matter? And not just today, but Jesus' resurrection, what today means, what we're thinking about today, this topic, it's the most important thing that literally ever happened. And without it, life would just be hopeless. But man, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And he is not the only one that has been raised or that will be raised. He's just the first. Adam brought us all death through sin, but through Christ, all who believe in him will be alive again. What does the resurrection of Jesus mean? Why do we celebrate it? Why did David wake up this morning thinking about Jesus and smiling and happy? Because it means hope. Beautiful, wonderful hope. It means that my life means something, that your life means something, that we've got a purpose on this planet besides just surviving, that we have a mission from him. And with that purpose, we also have a promise. We have hope that we will experience that same resurrection, that we will spend eternity with Jesus, and that our loved ones who believe in him are not gone. They are asleep. And we will go to be with them again. God is good. Christ is Lord, and it is a good day. It is a good day to serve a risen Savior. You know, when I think about Easter, I've gained a pretty odd perspective over the last 6 years. This has become a really difficult time for me. It's taken on a lot of new meaning. My father, Wayne Williams, 6 years ago this week was killed on the Friday before Easter by someone he was trying to help. I read Jesus' story and I think about my dad. My dad was not a perfect man like Jesus. He was a flawed man. But I always think about how I miss him during this time. I found out late on Saturday night that he had been killed, and I wonder sometimes how the apostles must have felt on Saturday night before Jesus was raised. I figure they just felt sad and mourning, scared. You know, my father didn't come back the third day after he died like Jesus did. But you know, he was a Christian. I baptized him myself. It's one of my better memories. And because of Jesus, that means I have hope. That means that this is just part of what's so beautiful about Easter, about the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus said in John 11:25-26, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:14 that God raised Jesus and will raise us by his power. The resurrection of Jesus is powerful because it gives us hope. Death is not the end. It wasn't for Jesus. It's not for the people that follow him. I'll see my Father again, Lord willing. And I myself, you, and everyone currently alive in this world has a chance to live with that same hope. That's what the resurrection promises. There's a way to be with God, a way to destroy the power of death, a way to true hope. Let's tell the world about it. That's what Jesus wanted. Let's draw strength and hope from it in our own daily struggles. God is good. The tomb is empty, and death was not and is not the end. Praise the Lord. That's what today is about. It's about celebrating that. This morning, I just want to ask you, do you need that hope? Are you a member of Christ's family? If you need to become a Christian this morning, come forward. We'll help you with that. We'll baptize you into His name, welcome you to the family. And if you're already a Christian, maybe you feel like you're struggling and stumbling and you don't feel that hope. Well, come forward. Let us pray with you, pray for you, and encourage you. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Songbook, turn with me to number 853. We'll sing this one and be dismissed in prayer. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory.